You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Seems a lot like Thursday for some reason. Back from a quick trip to Yuma. I have to tell you, the drive between San Diego and Yuma is beautiful. I don't know that I've ever seen it so green, and you go from the coast, San Diego, up in the mountains east of San Diego, and then down into the desert. But as you drive through the mountains, absolutely beautiful. Absolutely positively beautiful. So, I don't know. If you're not doing anything and you're in San Diego and you want to go on a beautiful drive, head east. Just drive east on I-8. Drive to El Centro, have lunch, turn around, drive back. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, who knew, right? No, you know, driving through the country, I mean, I love driving through our country. It is, you know, I don't care where you drive. I'm not a big fan of driving through the Northeast. Now, I know people are going to go, what? Man. I mean, it's a lot of trees, man. It is a lot of trees. And so you feel like you're driving down a bowling alley. At least I do. I prefer where you can see a little bit. And I don't care, you know, I mean, a lot of it is not very much to see or a lot of the same stuff, but you know, like driving through Texas forever, it gets a little old. But especially West Texas. But I will tell you that the rest of the country, but even then, I don't mind that. I love driving through the country. So, and I'll tell you what, it's the whole geography of our country. I mean, it's just beautiful. Even just driving the trip just over to Yuma, you know, the geography changes so much between you know, the coast of California and then the desert. And even in the desert, you see it change. A lot. So, anyway, yeah, Mac, the geologist. I want to talk about Iran today, but I want to talk about a guy who just passed away, who was a veteran of the United States Air Force, and I got my start in broadcasting, and he was one of those guys who had been a fixture in broadcasting, where I started up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. His name is Dwayne Sandin. He's an Air Force veteran, and I think he was a medic in the Air Force. And he was one of those guys who was just just a he was like a throwback to old radio, right? And he was like, I don't want to say he was half crazy, but you know, he just he had his own personality, and he'd go out and he'd do high school sports, so that's I would kind of tag along with him, and he liked me because I was a veteran, and then he so he'd take me along with him. But the thing he did, you know, this is like small town radio, is he during Christmas time, he would go around and he would sell this package where our radio station would play local choirs. I can't remember. Starting on the morning of Christmas Eve, and instead of doing regular programming, we would do choirs, and so he would go record choirs from all over the region, right? So he would drive up to Grafton, North Dakota, and record their choir. He would drive to Bemidji, Minnesota, and he would record their choir. And he would take all his equipment in his car, and he would go over there and set it all up, and he would record. He'd be there as long as he had to be recording them, and he would do this all over the region, recording choir after choir after choir, and then he would air it. So the rest of us would all be. He was never married. He was so he would be at the station on Christmas Eve, sleeping bag laid out on the conference room table, and so Dwayne Sandin passed away at the age of 74 earlier this week in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and he was we used to call him the Great Sandini, but he would say. He would say, like, you talk about people who don't have filters, who need a filter. He did not have one. And so I was hosting a sports show, a high school sports show, and one night, and we were talking about whatever. The Vikings had started the Twins. Dante Culpepper was the quarterback of the Vikings, so this is back in the day. And he said some stuff. And I had to shut his microphone off. I'm like, are you kidding me? You can't say that. And so, and then we were in the middle of a hockey game. So he decides one day, like, he wants to do a hockey game. So I was the program manager, or I was the operations manager. And he was going to do it by himself. So I went over just to, you know, see how he was doing, sit in. And if I can do, you know, a little bit of color commentary, It takes a little pressure off of him, and so I'm happy to do that. So we're doing the game, and he would start talking about things. Like he would see somebody in the crowd, and he'd say, oh, you know, there's Larry, you know, there's Larry Tate. He farms up near Minto. You know, they've had a great crop of soybeans this year. You know, the rain, and he'd talk about the rain. And you'd hear the game going on in the background. You know, putts crashing, bodies crashing. And then all of a sudden he'd say, all of a sudden he would say, I just got distracted by some video. The trial gets underway for the court-martial of, Chief Gallagher, and if you watch what goes on outside the trial, you wouldn't really be sure if it was a trial or if it was like a red carpet event, right? So I don't know, kind of gross. Anyway, so the Great Sandini. So I'm sitting there doing this hockey game with him, or at least trying to help. And there's a breakaway, right? The puck turns over at one team's blue line, right? So the other team goes on a breakaway 3-on-0, And so they're headed into the zone, high school hockey game. And he yells, the one kid has the puck, and he yells, "Pass the puck, you pig!" I remember sitting there going, oh, my God. But, you know, small-town America is filled with guys like him and women like him. He loved high school sports. He would take me to places like Minnesota, Northwest Minnesota does eight-man football. Okay? You go to do the football game on a Friday early evening, late afternoon, and you have pickup trucks ringing the football field. And there's a small set of bleachers. There's a snack bar. All the food in the snack bar is homemade, right? And there's the grandparents sitting in pickup trucks around the field. Their team scores, right? All the horns honk, the lights flash. And this stuff has been going on for decades. And you go there and you meet these people that support high school sports in small-town America. And honestly, it is absolutely wonderful experience. He took me to a place called Warren. Well, there's a high school in Northwest Minnesota that has an incredible sports program called the Warren Alvarado Oslo Ponies, WAO. So these used to be small towns that all had their own schools, but as the farm country has got more mechanized, those towns have gotten smaller. And so they've consolidated. So Warren used to have their own school. Alvarado used to have their own school. Oslo, don't you know, used to have their own school. So they combined. Well, they have a football team. Guess what time of day they practice? They practice at 6 in the morning because the kids have to help out farming, right, during the harvest. And so football takes place, a lot of it, during the harvest. And so before everything gets out of the field, they practice before school. How about that? What? Exactly. We're going to find out who wants to play. So, you just meet all these incredible people, you know, who make huge contributions to the lives of young people. And so he used to take me to places like that. And he was a piece of work. So he ran a skating pavilion at a place called Maple Lake. He inherited it from a woman he took care of for years, and she passed it down to him. She had no other family. Yeah, roller skating at the Maple Lake Pavilion. He would set up his music system, and he would play music. He would DJ roller skating at the Maple Lake Pavilion. So anyway. Anyway, I digress on a personal note, but he passed away this week, and I thought I would share. I thought I would share those notes. Big news, obviously, is 1,000 more people are headed for the Persian Gulf, and the Secretary of State is supposed to make a statement at some point this morning, and we'll go ahead and flip over to that. Should he make it before Alex Hollings comes on at 9 o'clock Pacific time? So. You know, I just find it interesting, and I said this yesterday, if you could understand it, but the only people that doubt that Iran is the culprit in all of this, in terms of mining an international shipping lane, are the people, are the governments that want to continue doing major business with Iran. Okay, they do not want to see that business go away. It is not a question of, did they do it? It is a question of, well, we'll say that we're not sure. That way we can continue, you know, that way we can continue this. All right? Because we're not going to, we've spent a lot of capital creating this line of business. We're not going to give it up like that. So, to me, I mean, it's when the United States and the United Kingdom say, yeah, this is what happened, most of the time relative to maritime events, you can take that to the bank. You can take that to the bank. So anyway, so we will we'll stand by to see what the Secretary of State has to say this morning. I will tell you this. He's a bit underwhelming as a public speaker. You know, he needs to be more Jim Baker-ish. Remember James Baker? When he would say something, you could take that to, you know, the way he said it, the definitive way that he would say it, you know, Pompeo, kind of a monotone delivery. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not happy with the Secretary of State's performance relative to public speaking. He needs to ramp that stuff up. The other thing I was curious to see is I've yet to see anything that says the president has made a comment about anything that happened in Hong Kong over the weekend. So again, it is. Should we make a statement about it, knowing that it most certainly will impact our negotiations with the Chinese. So again, the long arm of the Chinese extortion racket that is their economy, and really the presidents need to make a deal with them, and he needs to make a deal with them, and they know that. And so we shall see. But I was kind of curious to see if he would make any statement about that. I have yet to see anything like that. Now, one of the things I want to do this morning is I want to kind of go over the geography of the Straits of Hormuz. Just give you a little lesson, because I have a feeling that there's going to be more events in that area. And what I hope is, the United States has been for years, I mean, and I've, you know, this is going on into our fourth year, but, you know, what is it going to take for the United States Navy, right, to defend themselves and their right to be in international waters? You know, when you have the Iranians acting like idiots all the time, you know. So, anyway, I just want to go over the, really kind of the geography of Iran, what's important in Iran, and then Alex will check news headlines. Alex Hollings will join us today. Grant Newsham will join us tomorrow. We'll talk about events in Hong Kong, and do they even matter? Is the weight of our economy, does that cast the events in Hong Kong aside? Quickly cast them aside? Good question. Maybe. Yeah, human rights, they're important, but not so much when you talk about big time economic news. So again, it's like human rights are great to talk about, but they tend to occupy a place that's nice to go to and not a place that's essential. Economies and economics tend to occupy the primary spot. And I think you're getting a lesson in it from the President of the United States. Like, yeah, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for those people? Well, you're going to give them verbal sustenance as the President of the United States. What, to my own detriment? Is he guilty of doing exactly what I'm critical of others of? He won't risk, and he's risked more than most, with the confrontation with China. So, anyway, we'll keep an eye on that today. So, good morning to you. With apologies. Yeah, yesterday, I was missing a cable. And because I was missing a cable, I could not interview Grant Newsham, which I was fully... I didn't find out that I didn't have that cable until I sat down and got ready to interview Grant. And then I looked around and I'm like, and then I thought, oh, I can work around this. And normally, I'm the king of the workaround. And did not go very well. So I wound up dictating that I recorded that part, that hour, into my phone. And then what I did was I multitracked. Yeah. Anyway, it's a little bit of audio technical stuff, but I multitracked the hour because I couldn't mix it in a mixer because I didn't have access to it. So, with all that information, too much. And let me tell you one other thing about my trip to Yuma. You know, every time I do post-traumatic winning, people come up and, you know, what is that line? Kids say the most incredible things. Well, every time I do post-traumatic winning, it is a similar experience in that people come up to you and, you know, they thank you and reserve, you know, reservists are different, right? They're teachers, they're first responders, they do, you know, they're in charge of training different areas. And so the conversations you have are different than you have with people that are on active duty because they see the implications of this in their community. So yesterday, I talked to people at the end and then I'm packing my stuff up and a gunny had left and he came back and he said, you're not going to believe just what happened. And I kind of looked, I said, what? And he said, you know, my wife, he's an active duty guy as part of the INI staff in the Midwest. And he said, you know, my wife does training for for firefighters. And she works for the county. And he said, I called her and said, I just saw the most incredible thing I've ever seen about PTSD. And you need to find out, you know, what this guy does and get him there. So, he said, will you do this only for Marines or do you do it? I said, no, you can see it's not Marine specific, right? It's anybody specific. He's like, oh my God. So, you know, we talked. He said, well, she's probably going to contact you and blah, blah, blah. So, they were great. VMFA, I think it's 121, Reserve Squadron, was over there. And then, a C-130 Reserve Squadron was over there. So Marines from both those squadrons were there yesterday. So we're leaving. I get in my truck, getting ready to drive. I see that I have an email on my phone. So I look at it, and it's this email from his wife. And and I look, and it's a long email. And she's asking, you know, will you come and do this, you know, for us? And I said, absolutely, I will. So I see her phone number, so I call her. So hopefully headed to Oklahoma here in the not too distant future. But no, it's just cool because it resonates. And as I said last week, the thing gets better and better and better and better as, I get more experienced about doing it. So anyway, so just a great time. And I want to thank all the Marines from the 25th Marine Regiment for being so gracious. A lot of times, I mean, it was at the end of the day. Yesterday it was Monday morning, first thing. And I said, I know what you're thinking, right? What am I doing here, right, on a Monday morning? I said, well, hopefully after the end of 2 hours, you won't be thinking that. And they came up to me and said that. We were thinking that, just so you know. Will you mind reading? I said, it ain't hard, man. But most of all, I want to thank Colonel Justin Dunn. He's a commanding officer of 25th Marine Regiment. And I want to thank him for having me out there and getting me to 29 Palms on three separate occasions, and then over to Yuma to talk to the Marines of that regiment. And again, he had heard about post-traumatic winning, and he had heard about what was going on with the 2nd Marine Division. And he got interested, and he personally called me after they had a Marine take his life a couple months ago. And he said, we're going out to the desert. Would you be willing to come and talk? And I said, absolutely, I would. So I just want to say thank you to Colonel Justin Dunn and all the Marines of the 25th Marine Regiment for being such gracious hosts and so open to the message. So on that note, good morning to you. We begin a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. And to do that, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Thank you. This is dedicated to the Marines of the 25th Marine Regiment. Gracious host, and good luck while you're out doing your thing here in the next couple weeks. And also, don't be afraid to pick up the phone. As I told y'all, I will go anywhere to talk about these issues and the role that our culture can play in helping people live with trauma. So, it's dedicated to you all. I appreciated your hospitality.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
.32 on the west coast of the country as we check the weather here on a Tuesday, the 18th day of June, in the year of our Lord, 2019. What does that mean? In the year of our Lord? I don't even know, but I mean, come on, all the cool people say it. All right, currently in Quantico, it is cloudy and 80 degrees. Camp Lejeune, cloudy and 86. 29 Palms is sunny in 86. Pendleton, clouds in 62. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 78. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 80. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 101. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 91. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy and 63. Only going to get to 70. 72 tomorrow, and with clouds in the sky, mostly sunny and 71 on Thursday. That is a look at your weather. We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll check the news headlines, and we'll talk about the geography of the Straits of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, kind of lay that out for you. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next here on the one and only home for that thing, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
All right, let me read you an email from yesterday. It's about Hong Kong. I remember back in 97, I believe, sitting on my couch in my townhouse in El Toro and watching the ceremonies of the UK giving Hong Kong back to China. I was in disbelief. Knowing nothing about the lease agreement, I couldn't understand how the citizens were doing this willingly. I guess I should be surprised that relative calm lasted for 23 years. That's what I would say. I was in Hong Kong in 87, right? And there was already, you know, t-shirts printed up, 97, you know, the British flag, the Chinese flag. But it was an incredibly fun, vibrant, cosmopolitan, you know, city. You know, you had the British influence, the Australian influence, you had the influence of the Philippines and Vietnam and the Chinese influence, all kind of swirling and Japan, all swirling in Hong Kong. And it's a beautiful city right on the water and then goes to mountains and like nothing. And so, yeah, it's amazing. Breathtaking, beautiful. And like a lot of things the Brits got involved in, very cool. Now, a lot of people say, oh, the British exploited them. You know what? The British taught a lot of people how to make money. And you could be a hater, but the places they have gone have tend to fare relatively well, even in the wake of their departure. So, but really, there's not a whole lot of content about what's going on in Hong Kong, right? China and North Korea are going to have a summit. That's in the news. But not so much about Hong Kong. And again, that was the long arm of China, right, asserting itself over what they believe. Again, imagine what China controls on a daily basis. I mean, their internet controls any trending topic, and it's all deleted if they don't like it. That controlling a population of that size. And then to me, what's hilarious, though, is our liberal, right? Our liberal, you know, we want to be such good citizens of the world. High-tech organizations like Google directly support that effort to suppress all those people by working with the Chinese government. Because make no mistake, they don't give a shit about, you know, finding how to do whatever faster on the internet. They have no interest in that. What they do have an interest in doing is tracking the people that are publishing content. What they do have an interest in is tracking what you're looking at, tracking what you're sharing, and one, being able to delete that from the internet and every thread and everything that goes with it, and then assign you a, quote, social media score that can be used to incarcerate you. Yeah. So, anyway. But again, the long arm of the Chinese attempted to extend itself into Hong Kong, and the citizens weren't having it. I mean, the pictures were unbelievable. And yet, the rest of the world, pretty silent, right? If you want to see the Chinese economy in action and the way the Chinese do it, just know this. That is a testament, right? That issue doesn't break squelch for leaders. Yeah, yeah, hooray for them, but it's not like, come on, it's not like I'm going to waste any capital on that issue. All right, I just want to go over a little bit of geography for everybody. All right, so everybody knows where the Straits of Hormuz is, all right? So circle that. All right, so we're going to initially work southeast from there. So you have the Straits, okay? And then you have, you know, there, United Arab Emirates sit, Abu Dhabi and Dubai sit along the Persian Gulf Coast, the first major cities in there, right? You have, on the Iranian side, right along the coast, is a major port city called Bandar Abbas. They've got an airfield there. Ask me how I know that. I do. All right. There's another air facility at a place called Chabahar that's in that region. All right. So that's right at the Straits. Okay. Now, if you go south and east, you go into the Gulf of Oman. Okay. Oman sits there right along the western side of the North Arabian Sea. Okay. So you have the Indian Ocean further to the south that moves into the North Arabian Sea, and then the Gulf of Oman takes you to the Straits of Hormuz. So you'll hear all that. Along the western side, you have Oman, right, at the top. You have further to the south and west, you have Yemen. Yeah, delightful places, right? Oh, my God. Can we get the hell out of there? Really? So that's along the western side of what is known as the North Arabian Sea. All right. Now, you have the southern coast of Iran. And that's where you'll find the city of Chabahar. Okay. So I would tell you it's about equidistance. Right smack in the middle of the Iranian coastline. Okay. So, got an airport, Chabahar, got a couple actually. There's a big bay there called Chabahar Bay. So, yeah. So, we keep an eye on that thing too. And then, as you go further to the east, Pakistan sits along the northeastern side of the North Arabian Sea. Yeah. So you got that going for you. And then as you go further to the south, there is India. So you've heard of Karachi, Pakistan, eh? Sits along the coast. So that's kind of the layout. Back in the day, our carriers used to go up into the Gulf of Oman, but that was it. Because of the Iranian surface-to-ship missiles, their batteries that were along the coast, our aircraft carriers never went inside. Now, that changed during the war, but I'm not sure that we're doing that, all right, anymore. So I just wanted to go over that because you're going to, my instinct is you're going to hear about these areas. Now, once you go into the Persian Gulf, right, and these are all international shipping lanes, and the only people that really have messed around with these international shipping lanes over the decades are the Iranians. And they do it, they seem to do it on a regular basis. So, for whatever reason. And if you haven't seen them this morning, there's new pictures out of some of the damage that was done to those tankers and whatnot. So, you can go ahead and check that out. So there's a series of islands that the Iranians are known to use. Right? Some are just off their coast, which they would be entitled to, but others are further into the Gulf. Then there's abandoned oil platforms that they're known to use as well. So, anyway, so that is the area, right? An international choke point for oil coming out of Kuwait, for oil coming out of Iran, for oil, which they probably wouldn't bother their own oil, and then oil coming out of Iraq. So, and Asia in particular draws much of their oil from this region. So they are a bit sensitive to this. So anyway, I just wanted to do a little geography lesson with you. All right. So from left to right, Yemen, Oman, and then we go up and around the corner to the United Arab Emirates inside along the coast. All right. Straits of Hormuz, southeast is Gulf of Oman, further southeast is North Arabian Sea, further south and southeast is Arabian Sea, further south is the Indian Ocean. Go along the coast, remember these names. Bandar Abbas, airfield. Chabahar, airfield. Okay, further to the east is a very, very short coastline with Pakistan. And that is where Karachi is, and then India. So, anyway. Top stories. Secretary of State Pompeo getting ready to speak in his monotone. Stars and Stripes. Pentagon sending 1,000 new troops to the Middle East, releases photos to prove Iran is behind the tanker attack. And again, the only reason, I mean, come on, really? You don't think that Iran's behind the tanker attacks? What game are we playing now? Oh, let me guess, it's Germany. How would I have ever, ever thought that? Right? How would I have ever, ever thought that? There's a pretty close-up photo. This photo is a view of the hull penetration / blast damage sustained from a limpet mine attack on the starboard side, that would be right for all you civilians, of the motor vessel MT Kokuka Courageous while operating in the Gulf of Oman on June 13, 2019. Pretty big hole blasted in the hull of the ship. And you can see where it looks like one, probably two, three, four, five, maybe five other mines were on the hull of the ship. From Stars and Stripes, the Pentagon on Monday announced it would deploy about 1,000 new troops to the Middle East for defensive purposes and released new imagery, it says, shows Iranian troops' involvement in the attacks on the two tankers from the Gulf of Oman. Acting Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan announced the new deployments in a statement released by the Pentagon late yesterday. quote, the United States does not seek conflict with Iran, Shanahan said in a statement. The action today is being taken to ensure the safety and welfare of our military personnel working throughout the region and to protect our national interest. The deployment was requested by U.S. Central Command Chief General Kenneth McKenzie, United States Marine Corps. It will include forces to beef up U.S. intelligence, reconnaissance, and surveillance capabilities in the region, as well as force protection troops, according to the Pentagon. 11 new images were released. This is awesome. You have, these pictures are hilarious. Honestly, if you look at, there's 11 of them, right? They're like close-up color images of the Iranian Navy all standing around with life vests on, right, trying to pull limpet mines off of the hull of one of these ships. Imagery taken from a U.S. Navy Blackhawk of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy removing an unexploded limpet mine from the Kokura Courageous. Next picture. Same kind of thing, more hull damage. Next picture. Big ol' hole in the hull. Next picture. Scarring on the hull of the ship. Next picture. The only thing the Iranians don't do is wave in this picture. It's their little, you know, white, fast attack little boat, right, that they use with a 12.7 machine gun on it. They're all standing in the boat looking up at the helicopter. And then a picture, as it's, kind of move back, so you see all the different scarring of looks like residue that exploded and then kind of collected around other limpet mines that maybe didn't explode. Yeah, so another picture of the hole. This is a view of the remnants of a removed limpet mine's placement, location, and damage sustained from a limpet mine attack. On the starboard side of the Kokura Courageous, blah, 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 blah. A limpet mine is attached to a vessel via magnet and or nails. The hole seen were created by nails used to hold the mine in place. So what happened was, so my thought was that a limpet mine, right, had to, you know, is floating, right, and then with magnet, and then attaches at the waterline to the hull of the ship. Right? So unless the technology has been created that a limpet mine can sense a ship and then leap out of the water and attach itself halfway up the hull of the ship, somebody placed it there. Somebody pulled alongside and placed it there. Amazing. Then you have the scarring on the side of the ship. So, yeah, like, lest you don't think that this is the Iranians, here you go. All right. Amazing. And so now the narrative is the United States has pushed Iran into this position. Like, what? Marine Corps Times. Same two lame-ass stories at the top of Marine Corps Times. But evidently, this is the clickbait that sells. No female Marines currently leading platoons in the Marine Corps. Well, no shit, man. It takes a unicorn to do that. And there's not many unicorns out there. Number two, right? At the top of the fold, the same lame-ass story of a Marine Lance Corporal, right? 22-year-old idiot, right? Who uses social media to disseminate his own ignorant views about supremacist ideology. And then the picture is of C4 in a swastika. Come on, man. It's like the lamest shit in the world. I'm just trying to think if there's a... I'm just trying to see if there's any other... Chief Gallagher trial gets underway today. Rockets landed in Taji. Nobody injured. Pompeo tries to rally foreign leaders on the mining of international waterway. They're not interested. It's going to harm our business. It's going to harm our business. What do we do? So anyway, so look, if that's what's in the news today, there isn't shit in the news, okay? So off to the early bird we go. That's called generating news and clickbait. Number one, Coast Guard picks home port for new icebreaker fleet. Yeah, much ballyhooed in the news has been our lack of icebreaker capability. So, yeah. They'll do much of their hardest work in a world that's icy white, but the Coast Guard's new fleet of polar security cutters will be home ported in the Emerald City. What's the Emerald City? Yeah, the Russians do this all the time. I am pleased to announce that Seattle, Washington will be the home of, yeah, all the people from Seattle listening going, come on, you idiot, it's Seattle. I didn't know. How the hell would I know? I'm pleased to announce that Seattle, Washington will be the home of the Coast Guard's new polar security cutters. Why isn't it someplace in Alaska? The Pacific Northwest has been the home of our ice-breaking fleet since 1976. I'm confident that the Seattle area will continue to provide the support we need to carry out our critical operations in polar regions. So congratulations to the city of Seattle. I'm sure there's a shit ton of money in all of that too. To Egypt's Mohamed Morsi, ex-leader buried after his death. He was speaking in court, yeah, when he collapsed. Supposedly had a heart attack. But within hours, right, stories circulating that he was murdered. Right there in court in front of God and everybody. Third story, MQ-9 Reaper drone shot down over Yemen on June 6th, according to CENTCOM. So now, there was two stories that circulated. One was that the Iranians tried to shoot one down. And this story, that one was shot down. I don't know how you don't shoot these things down if you have the capability. In a statement on Sunday, U.S. Central Command said a U.S. drone known as a Reaper was shot down on June 6 by a surface-to-air 6 missile fired by Houthi rebels in Yemen. All right, that's the way we're going to do this. Yeah, they're big, and they don't move too fast. They're not too tricky. But you know what? We've lost drones, and... You know, so when it went down, right, so I'll tell you a story. We're in Afghanistan, 2010, 2011. And one of the drones starts acting up, right? And I can't remember, I want to say it was a Reaper. Because they used the wings ultimately as a bridge. That's how we found it. So, So we start getting messages because the thing's over our battle space. Hey, we're losing contact with the Reaper. Like, all right, what do we do? There's no human being in it. Is what's classified on it? Nothing. What? Yeah, there's nothing. Somebody can find it and nothing. What do you want us to do? You want us to go recover it? Well, yeah, if you can. Well, what does that mean? I mean, there's IEDs and shit. If people go romping and stomping... Right? Somebody might die, so do you want us to do it or not? Stand by. Yes. Unless it involves undue risk, right? If it's the same risk you would use doing anything else, by all means, go get it. So, it crashes near Marja in Afghanistan, in Helmand. And so we send Marines looking for it. And the story goes like, so, you know, people are looking for it. So this corporal, or Lance Corporal, standing there smoking a cigarette, says, why don't we follow the drag marks here? So slowly but surely, man, they start following the drag marks, and they start finding pieces of it. One of the wings is already being used as a bridge, as I said. But what they really wanted to get back was the camera and the transmitter. Within an hour after crashing, that thing had been taken out, and it had been dropped into a well so it could be sold later. And the guy who finds it all is Lance Corporal smoking a cigarette. And the way he got the information was he was trading cigarettes and food to people that didn't have it for information, and they gave it to him. And so we found our Reaper. Anyway, that is in the news. Other two stories that are in the top five. Number four, U.S. Forces Korea is lifting its curfew for 90 days to see if troops can behave. Long-standing curfew for troops on the Korean Peninsula. Number five, triple suicide attack kills at least 30 in northeast Nigeria. The biggest mass killings this year by Islamist militants. So, there you have it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Holling is going to join us. And Alex is a gear guy now, so we're going to talk about gear. So don't touch that dial. Allmarine Radio on a Tuesday continues here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.